mind, which is a ridiculous question to start with. But there we go. That was the sound of
Now,
the original flag.
this is where I bring in a famous gay icon, Cher, who is in a movie in the 80s called Mask. And it was actually the first movie where Cher got, I think she got an Oscar for it, where she was the mother of a son with a major birth defect that impacted his life and her sort of living with that. But the thing is that in the movie, the kid started dating a blind girl and she didn't understand color. So he took a bunch of Play-Doh and then just started manipulating it. So like he put some Play-Doh in the freezer and handed it to her and said, "This is blue." And then he took some Play-Doh and then he got it as hot as it could get without falling apart and handed it to her and said, "This is red, and when it cools down, it'll be orange." And then like handed her different objects to give her like concepts through like temperature and texture and weight, like through things like that, just handing her objects in her hand and said, like, this is what greenness is like if it were a physical object. So I don't know, it just kind of makes me think of that. Makes me think of a Cher movie, which is also pretty gay of me, but
It is pretty gay. You should snap out of it.
but I'm a movie nerd, I will have you know. Like, yeah, I recently responded to there was a thing about movies that were not good but should have been better, and the number one thing that came to mind was Serve Nazis Must Die. And it's mostly because the protagonist, Mama Washington, is one of my favorite action heroines in the history of cinema, because that lady just had so much fun killing Nazis.
So we've seen yet another weekend of prides happening all over the place. I just want to make sure that we are recognizing some of them. Madrid did really well. Tens of thousands of people marching about in Madrid in Spain for their recent pride event. We both landed on different news sources for the pride in Bucharest in Romania. They recorded the largest ever pride parade in Romania. They've only just decriminalized homosexuality in 2001, which I realize now is like 20 odd years ago. But it's still relatively recently.
Romania's had a rough century, though. Like, not to say that makes it okay, but they had other things on their plate that they were dealing with for quite some time. But yeah, they've come quite a long way. The article that I found actually, it juxtaposed images of pride with information statistics about modern Romania and their attitudes towards homosexuality. And it's very interesting because they're kind of where we were in the late 90s, in the sense that because Romania is 80% Eastern Orthodox Catholic, very specific branch of Christianity. Most of them do not ever want to see any kind of acknowledgement, official federal acknowledgement for same-sex couples. They don't want civil unions. They don't want marriage. They don't want any of that. But in the same study, they found 68%, which is more than a super majority. 68% of Romanians do think that same-sex attracted people should be given fundamental civil rights. You shouldn't be able to fire them. You shouldn't be able to evict them from their homes. You shouldn't be able to discriminate them. You shouldn't get away with beating them up in the streets. And legally, that is, from a legal perspective, that's basically where Canada was in the late 90s. Now, Canada was also on the fast track to becoming a mostly secular country. So I don't think Romania is 5 years away from gay marriage the way that Canada was, but it is, I don't know, things are looking up. And given how rough it's been for Romanians
Well,
over the past while,
I want to go into that a little bit with a bit more detail. So there
it is
was,
good news in its own right that at least 68% think that they should have basic civil rights. Like, this is very
well,
good news.
27,000 people marched in the parade, according to Q News. And what they also mentioned is the fact that recently there was an attempt at a referendum. Specifically, it was a referendum to stop gay marriage. I think this is also what you were alluding to. This particular referendum was backed by the Orthodox Church in Romania. It was backed by all bar one of the political parties. However, the referendum to block gay marriage was boycotted by Romanians. Hardly anyone showed up. It was
Oh, was it a plebiscite?
Yeah, it was a dud. Almost, it was like marginal attendance. As a result, and I think we mentioned this at the time, the Prime Minister told Europa FM that they were going to introduce legislation to legalize same-sex unions. They then moved on about a year or so later. This one, sorry, this was in 2013, saying, you know what, maybe we don't need to make civil unions just let. Let's get Romanians a bit more used to the idea before we move forward. And yeah, I think you were referring to the 2021 survey. But yeah, it was it led as a result of that to this attempted referendum. The referendum failed. And the government there seems to be sort of hedging its bets. They're waiting. But 27,000 people marching is a very strong signal that at least in Bucharest, there is really great support for the queer community. I also want to mention an interesting thing coming out of Chicago in the States. Now, in Chicago, it's been widely reported that 53 people have been arrested following Chicago Pride. Yet again, we'll take a look at what Chicago Pride has to say about this. And Chicago Pride says they had a lovely event. It went very well. Everyone had a great time. And everything finished by about 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
2 p.m. in the afternoon on Sunday?
Yeah, it was a lovely time. Everyone had a great time. And it all finished by 2 p.m. What then happened at about, I think it was about 1 a.m. later that evening, there was a whole bunch, there was a ruckus. It's been called online the violent thugs. It's been called all kinds of stuff about a very strong police presence was in the area. 53 people were arrested and detained. 14 of them are facing felony charges, according to local news in the area. Officers had things thrown at them. But this all kind of broke down around 1 a.m. at night. Now, it seems like this is not something new in Chicago. Apparently, after the Taste of Chicago event and some other events happening in the city, things have devolved in the really early hours of the morning in the city of Chicago. So, where at the end of this event, at 1 a.m. in the morning, there was unrest, 50 people arrested. Pride Chicago is going to great lengths to emphasize wasn't us. We were done at 2 p.m. We were done 12 hours earlier. And folks are saying, yeah, this seems to be more coincident. Were some of the folks out and about because of Pride? Probably.
Probably.
Probably, yeah. But this wasn't a major event where 50 people arrested as in any way directly connected to Pride in Chicago.
Well, this is just a feature of all street fairs. This isn't not even a pride thing. Like if a fair officially ends at 4 p.m. You then spend 2 hours folding tables and stacking chairs, collecting garbage, putting all the garbage bags in the right place. I mean, I remember 1 year when I was volunteering for Pride, it was 10 p.m. when the streets were reopened because it took that long to clear everything. But even then, you finish and everyone's just tired and they go home. Like you're not going to get a bunch of people who just spent 6 hours picking up trash to start a riot. You just want to shower and take a nap. But yeah, that wasn't their people.
There was, if you want a palate cleanser after this, I would direct your attention to Pride in Porto, Portugal. Now, there was a video that's gone viral from the Pride event in Porto, Portugal. This Pride goer called Lily was walking along with the progress flag with the trans and the black and brown chevron and the Pride flag. And there was this older gentleman outside his doorway in his house. The Pride marchers were happened to be going by his house. And he was seen waving a Portuguese flag. Now, when someone's waving a national flag at a Pride event,
it's mixed. It could be anything.
It could be anything. You could be talking about a supremacist. You could just be talking with a happy-go-lucky
The
Portuguese man.
year marriage was legalized in Canada, there was a ton of Canadian flags at Pride that year. Like that in that year, it was a good thing. It was Canadians, like gay Canadians, being like, "Look what the Supreme Court did for us." So I mean, it's really ambiguous, and it could also be like some kind of like national supremacist of some kind, basically saying like, "We don't want your people here." It could be anything. Could be literally anything.
So he waved over Lily. Lily is Portuguese, but okay. London happened to be visiting and was like, well, you know, while you're here, mm-hmm. may as well take a little march down the road as part of the Pride Parade. But yeah, so this older gentleman waves Lily over and then actually just drapes the Portuguese flag around Lily's shoulders. Mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful gesture. Lily then takes the progress flag and drapes it around his shoulders. They have a really cute, a hug where it's more than just like a polite, friendly hug, where there's like real, like
a warm feels. Hug.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It was beautiful, and apparently everyone in the crowd was like, "Oh." Exactly. It was great times. Pride happening all over the world. Beautiful stories like this coming up left, right, and center. We're going to be nauseous from existential dread. Sorry, we're going to be playing the song Nauseous from Existential Dread by Kaylee G. And we'll be back just after this.
I'd stay home, but I'd overthink till I can't breathe if I didn't go. And I don't wanna say this out loud, but I bet they talk when I'm not around. Smoking cigarettes with people hotter than me. I'm coughing up a lung and I don't want them to see. They're everything I wish that I was, and I'm getting so sick of pretending they're not. Hands up. Songs playing on the radio, I'll cry the whole way home. What if everyone hates me and I die alone? What if it turns out I'm no good on my own? I'm so sick of maybe, why do I hate me? Somebody save me. What if everyone hates me and thinks I'm a joke? What if I'm just not as good as
welcome back to Kangaroo, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
You picked up on a little story with someone looking into... sorry, let me just be very clear here. They were assessing... No, that's not the right word. They were reporting. There we go. They were reporting on the nudist float.
Yes.
In Toronto Pride. Can you let us know what that's about?
Somebody made a phone call. Somebody did an actual research. But yeah, so a lot of people were complaining about nudity at Pride. Pride is now getting large enough. And a lot of the corporate presence, a lot of the presence of children, a lot of the presence of international cameras and whatnot at Pride is getting people to sort of question why is there permitted to be nudity at Pride.
So it's specifically and only Toronto Pride.
Toronto Pride.
Yeah, yeah. Let's be very clear here. We are only talking about the nudist floats because there's only nudist floats at Toronto Pride.
So the criminal code specifically actually says everyone who, without lawful excuse, is nude in a public place is guilty of an offense published on summary conviction. So it's that without lawful excuse thing that is the hang up here. So why do they have a lawful excuse? Actually, I love that, by the way, as a thing, because like if your clothes get torn off by a wild dog, you're not going to get arrested for that. They'll just during the investigation, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry that happened to you. Here's a coat to tie around your waist or something. You will not get arrested if it's not your fault. So, ideally, anyway. So that's great. But anyway, so calls were made to various legal organizations, including the Toronto Police. And one of the things the Toronto Police said is they're never going to arrest the nudists because how do you get a paddy wagon up pushing through the millions of people lining the streets at Toronto Pride to arrest 10 to 50 people, depending on the year? Like, there's just no way that's going to happen without someone getting hurt. So that's never going to happen. But moreover, there is that lawful excuse and there is that exception in the history of Toronto Pride because the earlier years of Toronto Pride had the presence of the local nudist association. And it's just nudists. It's naturists from the 70s. A lot of the people in these organizations, like people complain that it's weird looking old people is something that you hear a lot, but a lot of them are from the 70s, from the sort of naturist nudist movement of the 70s. That's where a lot of these organizations come from. So you have these naturist organizations who've been in Pride for so long. There is that sort of low-key acceptance, and it's been like this since before the cameras were there. So there is that local Toronto exception that they're willing to let it slide, or at least they have been.
Let me just be clear here. The courts have decided. I'm surprised that the journalist didn't ask the courts for what they think about it. Because what we would point to on this one is nudist beaches.
Yeah,
you know, it's still a beach, but why are people walking around nude? There's famously Hanlon's Point in Toronto is also has a nudist beach. So what happens there? And it really boils down to, unless there really is a long-standing expectation that they be nude. And you would expect, you would reasonably expect nudists at a nudist beach. Like, that just makes sense. You know what I mean? And as you said, the nudists have been at Toronto Pride for so long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's now expected. So there is a case law. I can understand.
Yeah. This article is not written from the perspective of case law. It's written from the perspective of why aren't the police doing something about it, which is related but slightly different. And one of the answers that they got was basically that exception, that standing exception for Toronto Pride, really can only be overturned by the Attorney General. And it appears that no one has asked the Attorney General, or if they have, it hasn't been announced in any way. It hasn't been reported on that people have asked the Attorney General to overturn that reasonable excuse in the case of Toronto Pride. So it was just, this is such a small little detail of the Canadian legal system that it's one of the, like, I think I knew about it, but having the dots connected is kind of interesting for me. But yeah, I know that there's any time when you have lawful excuse or lawful exception or, you know, reasonable exception written into a law, it often does go to the very highest level in terms of overturning case law or overturning sort of standard, you know, expectations.
I suppose the thing that we have to think about here, and I'm going to go back to that nudists at the nudist beach example, you know, you don't accidentally, you know, stroll by a major intersection at in downtown Toronto and stumble into a nudist beach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And nudist beaches typically don't have a million people lined up either side waving flags.
Yes.
You know, generally speaking. You know what
I mean? Also, change rooms have nudity. A lot of bathhouses. And I don't just mean like between quotes bathhouses. I mean actual like spas will have nudity in them.
Because it's expected.
Yeah.
But I do wonder now that the scale and the scope is so big for Toronto Pride.
Yeah.
Can it really be that expectation? A very interesting question. And one that Toronto Pride grapples with every single year. And it's good that somebody asked the cops what they're going to do about it. Mm. We are running up against the edge of our time here, but I do want to break in some other news.
Right.
The man who I'm not going to name doesn't deserve to be named.
Okay.
Who murdered two people in his rampage at Oslo Pride in Norway has been given the maximum possible sentence under Norwegian law for the attack during the London pub at Oslo Pride in Norway a couple of years ago. So he was obviously arrested. And he's now had the book quite firmly thrown at him. And he'll be serving at least 20 years in prison. He was sentenced to 30, which is the maximum under Norwegian law. In Europe, some Latvians have got married, specifically some same-sex Latvians. The first same-sex ceremonies in Latvia took place this week, which is very exciting news. And congratulations to Maxims Ringo and Janis Lux, who were the first couple married in Latvia. The first same-sex couple to have a civil union, in Latvia. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I'm correcting myself there. We also, as you know, the Russians have cracked down on anyone who does not toe the Russian line as propaganda outlets. And the outlet Novaya Gazeta Europa had to move out. They're now based in Latvia. They had to leave Russia following the crackdowns. They have reported on the content creator, the adult content creator, Matvey Volodin, who was lured to the region of Dagestan in Russia. Apparently, a number of people claiming to be fans of his work had arranged to meet with him in Dagestan, in the Russian Republic of Dagestan. What met him there was a police sting operation. He was detained, beaten. His phone was confiscated. He was then coerced into luring and entrapping other men. The lawyer speaking for Volodin has told the media that apparently they entrapped several other gay men. About five of them were invited to the apartment. Activities took place that the police filmed in order to then use to prosecute the men that were lured in to meet with this adult content creator. He was let off on a misdemeanor charge for about 12 hours and then promptly arrested for producing and distributing pornography. So, yeah, the Russians are rushing. It's pretty horrific stuff. Wow. But I wanted to bring this up because we talked about something very similar to this, this kind of behavior by Russian authorities. We were talking about the government in Chechnya, the Russian region of Chechnya, and how they initiated their own purge, often and frequently using gay men and the threat of incarceration and the devastating impacts that can have on openly queer folks in Russia, and using that to then lure, entrap, and beat other gay men in the area. So this is the most most clear example of that we've had in a little while, but it certainly has and clearly does continue to happen in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be monitoring that as it goes on. But yeah, we'll hopefully we'll have some more good news as we move forward. You know what? Let's not leave it on that note. In the Castro district in San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
There is a lady who is single-handedly trying to fight back on the book bans. She runs the shop called Fabulosa Books in the Castro. And she has books, not bans, as her thing. And what they do is they invite patrons of the bookstore to purchase one of these banned books. Mm-hmm. And they then mail them to the towns and cities, the libraries, the schools where they are banned. So literally taking these books and making them available to people in those communities where the book bans are in place. They've had, so far, they've sent about 740-odd books to Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama. Hmm. And these are all books bought for by patrons to the store who think that obviously reading a book isn't going to turn someone gay. Mm-hmm. It's a great way of reading expression. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. And other good, nice news on top of obviously the horrific news coming out of Russia. But did you have any other stories that I may have missed?
Oh, just a bunch of little ones, like stories so small that the headline is the story.
Oh, yes, there was something in a park in Toronto. I don't have that in front of me. Do you have that
one? Oh, yeah, in Moore Park in Toronto near Mount Pleasant and St. Clair, there was an individual who was assaulted, and they're looking for the suspect, and they have an image online. If you were in the area, let's see, what's the time here? On June 16th at approximately 4 p.m., if you saw a couple people assaulting a third person, then they want information.
I believe it's being treated by the Toronto police as a potential hate.
Oh, it's definitely event. Being treated as a hate crime. There were some naughty words that were being slung. So yeah. Even if you didn't see it, if you overheard the naughty words being yelled out at high levels, then yeah, that's potential information.
All right, well, we have run out of time. We're playing out with My Only Rule by Camellia Grove. I have been Luke Smith.
I've been Sebastian, and thanks for listening.